And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen. What an incredible thing to say. Let it be to me according to your word. Because, of course, the angel had said some pretty incredible things to her, even unbelievable things. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. What could the angel possibly mean? The Lord is with you. God had been with his people in days of old, but that had not been a time always of comfort. It had been often a time that would strike great fear and terror in God's people. Think God in the whirlwind, or in the pillar of fire by day and pillar of smoke by night, or God upon the burning mountaintop of Sinai, or God blazing forth in the face of Moses, to which the people responded, please cover your face with a veil when you're not speaking with us, because you are frightening. And here he says, you are the favored one. God has given you favor, that is, gifted to you, the Lord who is with you. Of course, you can't help but hear the prophecy from Isaiah, which was then spoken also by the angel to Joseph, Jesus' adoptive father. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. No wonder then, having said such an incredible word, a gift as it is, Mary responds at first, well, she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Again, when God was with his people under the old covenant, it often struck fear and terror in the people. As we heard from Hebrews, he was the God who demanded blood sacrifice, bulls and goats and calves upon the altar day and night. And so the angel says to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. If you've ever wondered why in the New Testament the angels always, almost always anyway, begin their greetings this way, Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary. Because, again, God with his people, even God sending a messenger angel, was not always with good news. Think of the angel of death who came to strike down the firstborn of man and beast in Egypt. Think the angel of the Lord, or the angel commander of the Lord's armies who went before God's people for conquest in Canaan. God, the one who struck down all the Canaanites, the Israelites followed and literally just picked up the spoils of the battle. So the angels of the New Testament, the New Covenant, say, Do not be afraid, because the message that they come to bring is one fundamentally of good news. You have found favor with God. God has looked upon you with his favor. That is, he's giving you gifts today. So it is that the messengers of the New Testament come bearing gifts from God, not demands, not threats of punishment, not more law, but good news, gospel gifts. Because, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Children are a gift from the Lord. And you shall call his name Jesus. Of course, you know his name means the Lord saves. Already now the angel has promised to her favor, a son, the Lord who is with her, and now a savior. Jesus is his name. And more than that, this gift is going to grow quite a bit larger, not just in her womb, but in the proclamation. The angel continues, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, a title for God the Father from the book of Daniel. He will be great and the Son of God. The Lord your God will give him the throne of his father David. Now, her conception of this gift is expanding even further. Now she is understanding him to be the long-promised son to David that would reign on his throne forever. Promises being fulfilled. Also, good news a great gift. He will reign over the house of Jacob. Now going back to the promise of Jacob made to Judah, who was, of course, a great-grandfather of that King David. Jacob, who promised Judah to be the lion king, if you like. And of his kingdom there will be no end. This is astoundingly good news and a wonderful gospel gift for Mary. But, of course, it is also quite unbelievable for any number of reasons. The first that Mary asks is, how will this be since I am a virgin? How is it that I am to conceive without knowing a husband? She is, of course, betrothed to Joseph, as we heard, but not yet married, not yet consummated the marriage. And so the angel answers her with even more incredible good news words. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon her, just as the Holy Spirit dwelt over the womb of the earth at creation, over those waters, and brought life not only to plants and animals, but to mankind, as God breathed the Spirit into Adam. So now the Holy Spirit will overshadow her, and the power of the Most High, the power of the Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son, will bring the child into her womb. God himself will take up residence in her womb. Now, how is that? God is describing her womb as a new creation. Quite unbelievable. And therefore, the child to be born will be called holy. Your womb is set apart. The child born in your womb is set apart to bear forth now the Son of God. And if you can't believe that, here's another bit of good news, incredible, unbelievable good news. Your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, in her 90s, has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. So you can imagine if an angel of the New Testament came and spoke of such good news, what would you actually ask? Maybe the obvious question, how is this to be since I'm a virgin? That's a good question. What does this all mean? That's a good Lutheran question, right? But would you probably demand even more proof? Would you ask for him to explain and the intricacies of how he's going to be conceived in your womb? What is Mary going to contribute to the conception, and what does the Holy Spirit contribute? No, it's good enough for Mary to simply receive this incredible, unbelievable good news gospel and simply receive it, believe it. So Mary says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Mary has long served the Christian church from days of old as an icon of the church. She is a picture of the church. John would even give us to see this picture when Jesus hands over his mother at the cross to the Apostle John to care for. So the church is cared for by his apostolic office. But we are also then to see Mary at the wedding at Cana when she says, as you heard recently in a sermon, when Jesus gives instruction to her, actually rebukes her a bit, says, "Do whatever he tells you." So let it be to me according to your word, and do whatever he tells you. Those are really the two primary words that we ever hear from her. And yet, how much better could you describe the life of the Christian in his church? Let it be to me according to your word, receiving good gifts, and do whatever he tells you. Let me do according to your command, O Lord. That is the nature of faith, isn't it? That regardless of the words that God speaks, we say, I will do what you tell me, when it's the word of command, the law, and also when he says good news, gospel gifts, even unbelievable ones, we say, let it be to me according to your word. We usually shorten that up a little bit. We say, amen. Or as you learned from the catechism, yea, yea, it shall be so. It's another way of saying the same thing. Amen, let it be, let it be. And so when Jesus says to you that he has suffered and died for you to forgive you your sins, you respond, Amen. Let it be to me according to your word. When he says to you, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there you receive new birth, birth from above by the Holy Spirit. You're made God's own child, and you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit, all of which is to eyes hidden under water and word spoken. And yet, what do we say? Amen. Let it be to me according to your word. When you would come to the pastor to confess privately those sins that you know and feel in your hearts, one of the questions that you're asked is, do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? And the answer is, of course, yes, let it be to me according to your word. Or when Jesus says to you, take, eat, this is my body. You see bread, but his word is attached to that sign of bread. And he says, in the eating of that, you receive his body, and with his body, and with the cup, that is his blood shed, you receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. You're strengthened and nourished for this pilgrimage until you receive the eternal home that he has promised to you. That's a New Testament promise. It's incredibly good news. Maybe unbelievable to sinful flesh. And yet, to the eyes that are enlightened by the word through the ear, you come to believe. So we might look at what happened to the Virgin Mary on that Annunciation and say, well, I don't know if I could ever say, let it be to me according to your word, except this is exactly what happens every time you gather here in divine service. Jesus says incredibly good news, gospel words to you, and he says so through an angel messenger who he sent to you, sometimes even dressed a bit like an angel. And you say, amen. Let it be to me according to your word. How much better could it be? In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.